Good morning, guys, and happy Halloween. Today is Friday, October 31st, which is Halloween, in case you don't know that or live under a rock. I hope that wasn't rude. I'm really sorry. Thanks for tuning in to episode 37 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. If this is your first time joining me, thanks for listening, and I don't normally start off my episodes with an insult. If you are returning listeners, thanks for coming back. My name is Summer. You can find me on Ravelry and on Instagram as Summer Yarns, which is SOMERYARNS. And we also have a Ravelry group that I would love it if you would join. So what are we going to talk about today? What I've been up to? Finished objects. Or lack thereof. Oh, no, I do have a finished object. Yay. Works in progress that I have actually worked on, spinning, cross-stitch, enabling, and acquisitions, the Twist Fiber Studio Art, oh my goodness, Twist Fiber Studio Kickstarter, the Christmas All Year Long Knit Along, and In the Kitchen. And wow, that seems like an awful lot to get through in the amount of time I have. I will try not to talk too fast. This is, like I mentioned, this is Friday. I usually record on Wednesday. Wednesday was a crazy morning, and I just didn't get a chance. Yesterday, I flat out forgot, and today, I just wanted to make sure I got one out this week. I don't know that I will record next week, just because I don't know that I'll have that much to talk about in just 4 days. So, we'll have to see. If anything major happens over the weekend, then I will record. So what I have been up to, the biggest thing is that end of last week, we launched our website at work. And as I have mentioned in the past several episodes, this is my big project at work that we have been involved in this particular incarnation of the project has been ongoing for about the past 5 or 6 months. A little more than 6 months when we really started the process of seeking vendors and that type of thing. But really, it's been ongoing for me for probably about 2.5 years. So the fact that this is launched is a little surreal. I had a couple of moments where I just had to sit back and think, oh my gosh, we did this. There's actually, if you go to our URL, there is actually a new website. We made this happen. I'm very proud of it. There have been glitches. Most of them are very minor. We had an issue yesterday that surfaced yesterday that has been ongoing. That was a little stressful, but I think either it's solved or we will solve it. So in the grand scheme of things, it's minor. I am very, very proud of the work we did on this. So yay for us. That has been pretty much eaten up my life for the past several months, and I'm very glad to be on the other end of it. Of course, we're never on the other end of a website. There's a lot of maintenance, and there's still a lot of stuff we need to add. Other things. Gosh, there really hasn't been a whole lot else. We voted on, what's today? I guess that was Wednesday. Yes, we voted Wednesday, which was, did our civic duty. The only thing that makes it exciting is that this was Laura's first time to get to vote. And that was very cool. So we did early voting and we took her and she voted. So yay for Laura. excuse me, and I am going to take a sip of coffee. I'm going to try to finish my coffee before I end recording today, so I may have to take several coffee breaks. Usually I end up with an almost full cup of coffee at the end of recording and I have to guzzle it, and that's no fun. Let's see. The voting. Oh, so we also, I'm just going to reminisce and be nostalgic and a little schmoopy for a couple of minutes about my daughter. So if you are a regular listener, you know that she turned 18 earlier this month. And, that's fairly anticlimactic once it happens. You're like, oh, I'm 18. Well, Wednesday she had a series of things that really struck home that she's actually 18. She had her yearly physical and chose to go in by herself because she no longer needs a parent to accompany her. She no longer needs a parent to sign for her shots and anything like that. She's an adult. So she went in by herself, and I wasn't there. Jimmy took her. And while he was waiting in the waiting room, and Laura was waiting for her shots, her pediatrician actually came out to let him know that if he wanted, he could run up to another part of the clinic and get himself a flu shot. But she also came out just to talk about the fact that she remembers when Laura was a baby, and that, you know, she can't believe that she's 18. And, you know, and we go to a, it's an HMO. I don't actually know what you call these. It's a huge series of clinics that we have in Houston. It's kind of like Kaiser in California or other places that I don't know. But there's a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? I want to say migration, but that's not the word I'm looking for. People move around a lot. People's insurance changes, what doctors you can see changes, and the fact that we have been consistently with this pediatrician since Laura was 4 months old is fairly significant. And not to mention that this doctor is roughly our age. She's probably about 5 or 6 years older than me, and she had only started her practice, she'd only joined the practice probably no more than a year, year and a half before Laura was born. So she's, you know, basically she's been with her entire career. And she said that that is actually, she's one of a few that she's actually seen grow from baby to adult. So that was, I don't know, it's very touching. And it makes me sad when I think about the fact that in 2 years, Eli will also be 18 and we probably won't see her anymore. They can see her till she's 21, but I doubt that they will, unless they're really sick when they're home from school or something. But, so there was that. And then when she got home, she was trying to take care of, she had taken an online course over the summer, and she needs the test, the final proctored, and she was trying to make arrangements for that and asked Jimmy to call and ask someone about it because something hadn't gone correctly. And he called, and when they got her birthday, they said, no, we need to talk to her. So that was the first time that she's actually had to take the phone because she was an adult and could no longer depend on her parent to do that. That was kind of strange for her, but she handled that well. I don't know that I kind of would have freaked out. I don't like talking on the phone. And then the last thing was that she voted. I mean, it was a day of firsts. So that was something. Other than that, there really hasn't been much going on. It's obviously Halloween today, and so there will be trick-or-treating. I don't know. Laura's an adult. She's not going trick-or-treating. But you never know if Eli will end up. Probably not, because I don't know. You never know. So, yeah, that's it. Let's move on to knitting. Finished objects. I was going to say I had no finished objects, but I actually did finish a pair of socks last night in the nick of time. I finished my knitted heart vanilla socks in the Sock Bunny Studios Miracle Base in the Candy Corn colorway. And I cannot believe that these socks took me 3 months to make. They're just vanilla socks. I guess they were just boring. And they spent an awful lot of time in the car, like stowed away in the car and without as much knitting time as we have at other times of the year. So, or I have in the car at other times of the year. So I guess they just kind of hibernated for a while, but I was determined to get them done so that I could wear them today on Halloween. So they are finished and I love them. This is the first pair of BFL socks that I have ever worn, and I really, really like the way they feel. Have a sip of coffee. Okay, let's talk about works in progress. Sock Yarn Blanket, unfortunately, has gotten very little love this week. I don't know how I'm going to play catch up and get all of these squares done. I did get, I'm sure I got a couple of squares done, but I don't really remember getting them done. I think I did maybe two on Sunday and one on Monday, and then I haven't done any more. That's a little frustrating, but it will get done, and it also doesn't have to be as big as I plan it to be, so a little frustrating. I have mostly been working on the Olympic Forest baby blanket, which I believe I mentioned I am working on as part of my OWL, my owl for the Harry Potter Knit and Crochet House Cup, which henceforth will be referred to as the House Cup. I was supposed to get to my 50% point today, and I personally, I think I set my 50% point too far. What I did, the pattern is three charts, and the first two are very simple, and it's only the last maybe quarter of the second chart where we start to get into some cables. So what I did was count the first two as, you know, getting through the first two as my 50% point, and then the last chart, which is mostly cables, I was counting as another half because I knew it would take longer and it was getting bigger. I think I probably should have set that half point mark where the cables started, and then that would have seemed more even. In any case, there's no way I'm getting to the 50% mark. I think I'm seven rows away, which in some things would be no big deal, but this is a blanket that has grown, and I can't even tell you how many. It's, you know, we've got, I don't know, probably 150 or so stitches on the needles now, maybe more, and it's just, and it's got cables, so it just, it slowed me down. So my goal now is to get it finished by the end, the whole blanket finished by the end of the month, to turn in for my owl. And honestly, I'm not sure I'm going to make it. When I did the math, I thought I could do it, which basically when I did the math, and it would be fewer than two rows per day. I could get, it was like 1.3 or something like that. But I forgot about the Pico bind off. And I can't do, getting two rows done right now is bad, and the thing is continually growing. What I'm going to try to do is get at least one row done per day during the work week, and then try to get two rows per day done over the weekends and see if that helps me get to a point where I can finish it. But if it gets to the point where I'm killing myself over this blanket that is supposed to be filled with love because it is a baby, a gift for a friend for her baby, then I'm not going to do that anymore because I'm not putting bad energy into this blanket. So that's where I am on that. Oh, and we did find out that the baby is going to be a boy. So now I have all kinds of other ideas going through my head for other things that I can make. He's due in March. I think he's due right around spring break here. I have other ideas. I think I want to do another baby surprise jacket for him, but I think I'm trying to decide. The last one I did on size sixes, and it turned out fairly big. I would say six to 9 months or 9 to 12 months. It was a fairly big jacket. I think sweater. It was a fairly big sweater. I think I might go down to size fours and just see what size that comes out. The baby will live in Washington State, in Seattle, the Seattle area. So if he's born in March, I'm thinking he'll have a little bit of time for it to be cooler. It's kind of tricky because if I make it just a little too big, then he may not get to wear it at all because it may be over the summer. I don't know. Any advice from, I don't even know if there's anybody from the Northwest United States who listens to my podcast. But if you do, I'd like some advice on baby sweater sizing for a baby that's born in mid-spring. The checked and squared socks from Sock Architecture by Laura Neal. I forgot to mention, I am making the Olympic Forest baby blanket out of Barocco Vintage and a green, kind of a limey green colorway. Checked and Squared, I'm making from Sweet Georgia Tough Love Sock and Snapdragon, which is a spring green and pink and white, and it's a really pretty yarn. I really like the yarn. I finished Sock 1 sometime this week and have not cast on Sock 2 yet. I think what I'm going to do is cast it on and then stick that one in the car, because I don't have car knitting anymore, and then cast on my November socks tomorrow, which I don't know what they are yet. I haven't pulled them out of the bag. I think I know what yarn it is because I know what's in the December bag, and I'm pretty sure of the one other skein that I put in bags, but I'm not 100% sure. I'll find out tomorrow, I guess. Coffee break. So far, I'm very happy with the Checked and Squared sock that I did finish. I used the knitter math that Laura Neal sets out in the book, and I think the first sock may be just a smidge too short. So, I tried it on before kitchenering it, but I'm not ripping it. It's not short enough for me to worry about. But we'll see what it feels like when I'm actually wearing them. They may stretch out just a little bit. So those are all of my works in progress, I believe, which is not very much. I have been knitting a bunch, but all on that blanket. Spinning, I did a little bit one day this week. Probably one of the weekend days. I pulled out the brazen stitchery pole work that I've been working on, and I think I did one color repeat, not a color repeat, but a section of one color, if that makes sense. So not very much at all, but I did actually get to do a little bit. Cross stitch, I am still working on the 12 Days of Christmas sampler, plugging along. There were a couple of times where I had to do some ripping back. I don't remember if that was this week or last week now. But I am plugging along. I am almost done. Well, I'm about 3/4 of the way done with day 5. I like that these squares go faster. They don't go quite as fast as I had hoped they would go. But I'm confident that I'll finish this before Christmas, I think. I really hope I don't have to put it away and pull it back out again next Christmas. I also bought a frame for my Halloween sampler, and I never actually did anything with it. I'm so lame. I didn't decorate for Halloween this year. The only thing I did was put up a little Halloween sign on my cubicle at work that I had bought last year. And the only reason it got put up was because it was still in my cubicle from last year. On purpose. I did do that on purpose. It's just been so busy, and I just haven't had the desire to decorate. It's a little sad. That will change. I'll have to put all of my will into Christmas decorating this year. Enabling and acquisitions. I did get some pretty cool stuff this week, I have to say. I ordered some yarn a few weeks ago. I don't remember. It's probably been a month or so. From Desert Vista Dye Works, and I got that this week. And it was the Zombodies Eating Candy Corn colorway. If you are not familiar with her Desert Vista Dye Works Zombody line of yarn, they are basically traditional. She takes traditional holidays, traditional themes, and then puts a zombie twist on it. So in this case, and it's still skeined up, so I don't know exactly. I believe it says that it's an eight color repeat of self-striping yarn that has candy corn colors, so orange, yellow, and white, but it's interspersed with speckled green and purple, and there's got to be some other colors in there, but I don't remember. They give it kind of gives it an off look. She has, like I said, some for all the holidays. The 4th of July one I did from her was Fireworks on the 4th, but she also has Zombody Doodle Dandy, which takes those same red, white, and blue and intersperses it with with the speckled yarn, and it's really cool. So this one, obviously, I'm not making them for this year, so they've gone in my bin, but those will be my Halloween socks next year. So I'm really excited about that. And then the other thing I got was a fat fiber box. And I don't know, I know that there are some of you, I'm sure, who are familiar with fat fiber boxes, and some of you who probably are not. So I will tell you what I know, which is very little. I first heard about fat fiber, I think it's probably been several years, when a friend of mine at work was able to snag one. Just a moment. Jimmy made French press coffee this morning because we were out of K-cups. It's so good. Anyway, so the fat fiber boxes, they're basically sample boxes of samples from tons of different indie artists or indie dyers and indie artists. They're all indie artists, whatever they're doing. And indie sellers, that's the word I was looking for, but yes, they are artists. They have three different types of boxes. I actually don't know what they're called, but there's one that is purely yarn, and there's one that's purely fiber, and then there's one that's mixed, you get both fiber and yarn, and that's the one I chose. They're very hard to get. Like, if I'm on her mailing list, so I get notified whenever there's going to be one, and I don't know if I've tried to get one before and missed out, or if I had. I know I've had them. I've had plans to get them before, but this is the first one I ever got. I think the other times I never actually. It's like I got the notification and then decided I wasn't going to try for it that month. But this time, I'm kind of considering it my reward for my project at work. I decided to try for the mixed fiber box. And the boxes are, they're $36, and you get just tons of stuff in them. And even on the website for it, she links to the Ravelry group where there are tips on how to actually manage to get a box. And so I did not have high hopes, but the tip was to just, to go to the website a few minutes before and just reload until you see them start populating on her Big Cartel page. And I mean, it's just like any other, stalking any other update. But I was very shocked when I saw, I refreshed and I saw the mixed one come up, and I put it in my cart, and all of a sudden I checked out. It was not hard at all. I guess I have got super fast fingers, but I was very pleased. I was so excited that I actually got a box, and I was even happier when it got here so fast. It got here on Wednesday, and I opened it up, and it was like Christmas. There was just so much cool stuff in this thing, mostly fiber. There were probably four or five mini skeins, which will be great for my blanket. Although one of them was lace weight, so I can't incorporate that into the blanket. And one of them looked like it was pretty small, so I don't know that it will be enough for a square. So I'll have to wind that. It was on a card rather than skeined up. So I'll have to wind that off and weigh it and see. And if it's not big enough, then I'll do something else with it. Maybe make an ornament or something. Or skein it up really pretty and use it as a decoration itself. I don't know. But I got lots of that. But then, I mean, there was tons of fiber, which was really exciting for me because there were lots of new to me fibers. The most exciting one, and I'm sorry, I don't have the cards in front of me, so I don't know the dyers. But there was one that was camel and silk, and I don't even remember what else. But it is the softest thing I have ever felt. Oh, my God. And it was so beautiful. It was blues and golds. The box itself, this month's theme was ancient Egypt, which is really cool. And the camel just was amazing. And what else was in there? It was a lot of fiber samples, a few mini skeins, a couple of stitch markers, and a couple of buttons. I don't remember what else, but it was really cool. It's not something I will do every month, but I will definitely, I'll definitely do this again. I'll probably get a yarn box and a fiber box just to try them all out. But it was like Christmas. And now I want to put all the knitting away and just spin all of these samples. Oh, so much fun. But that was all of my acquisitions. That felt like the fat fiber box was just, it felt like it was tons. It felt like I had gone shopping and gotten just a ton of stuff. So much fun. I'm actually, speaking of enabling acquisitions, I'm just going to throw this in here. This wasn't on my, on my show notes. But next weekend is the Kid in You Fiber Festival in Boerne, Texas, which is just northwest of San Antonio. I had planned on going, and at this point, unless I decide to go on a whim, and Katie, if you're listening and you decide on Saturday morning that you really want to go, you can call me and you could probably convince me to go. I really want to go, but it's been so busy, and Laura and Jimmy were planning to go to Austin that day to hang out with one of his former students, kind of a pseudo-college visit. But I could really, I could convince him to let me go to Boerne instead. I just want to go so bad. But I don't know. If I am going to be there, I'll post it in the group, and I will also, I mean, if you follow me on Instagram, I'm sure I will make it known that I'm going. But, at this point it doesn't look like I am, but I want to so bad that it could happen. So let's talk about the Twist Fiber Studio Kickstarter. Today is the last day of Ashley's Kickstarter. So this is also your last day to enter to win. I had said I would actually keep it open until I record it again, but since it looks like there's the possibility that I won't record until the second week of November, I'm probably actually going to go ahead and lock that thread at the end of the day, or first thing tomorrow morning. To enter the giveaway, you'll need to take a look at the Twist Fiber Studio Kickstarter page, and the link is in the Ravelry group, and tell me which of Ashley's Perfect Pair sets is your favorite, and you must be a member of the group to win. Like I said, today is the last day of the Kickstarter, and she's met her goal, and her final goal is to meet $12,000 so that she can buy stuff that will make it easier to vend at craft fairs and fiber festivals and stuff like that. So, take a look and enter to win. And if you are able, it would be great if you could help Ashley out with her Kickstarter. The Christmas All Year Long Knit Along, we are still going on that. We've had a few entries this month. Like I've said many times, I completely flaked out on that, and I'm kind of sad. I wish that I participated. The whole point was that I would have at the end of the year all of these little ornaments that I could decorate a desktop tree. I think I did 3. That's not going to be much of a tree. So, to enter this, all you need to do is submit something that is for a winter holiday, whether it is a decoration or a gift or an ornament. Anything goes for that, as long as it, you know, is meant for a winter holiday. It can be any craft, and I guess that's it. I feel like I'm forgetting something, but again, you have to be a member to win for that. I will draw a prize at the end of the year or very beginning of 2015 for a winner for the fourth quarter, which is October through December. And I will also draw for a grand prize for anybody who entered throughout 2014. The prize for the fourth quarter will be a $10 or less pattern of your choice from Ravelry, a $10 gift certificate to an online shop of your choice, or If you want and you are a U.S. resident, you can... I'm sorry, I've got the hiccups. You can choose something $10 or less from an online store, and I will have it shipped to you. The only real benefit, the only time I could think that there would be a benefit to that rather than getting a gift certificate would be if for some reason that particular seller does not have a gift certificate option. Another way that this could be beneficial is I will cover the $10 does not include shipping. So if there's something that you want that is right at $10 and a gift certificate wouldn't cover that, then that would be a good option because I'll cover the full $10 of it plus shipping. If that makes any sense. The grand prize will be a bag and notion pouch from Absolute Wonder. And Absolute Wonder, that shop is owned by my mom, a Free Spirit, or a Free Spirit One on Instagram. And she has shown me the fabric, and I've told her to make whatever she chose. And she messaged me, and I absolutely cannot remember what it was she said that she was going to do. I think she's going to make two bags. And you can choose, whoever wins can choose which one she wants. And I get the second one. So, yay. Thank you, Mom. By the way, if you happen to be listening to this on Halloween or on the 1st, November 1st is my mother's birthday. So, if you are friends with her on Ravelry or Instagram or anywhere, be sure to wish her a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Mom. I'm sure I'll talk to you tomorrow. So in the kitchen, not a whole lot to talk about, but I do have a couple of things. Gosh, oh my gosh, it's already 7:15. Goodness gracious. I'm going to talk about this. I guess I'm just going to be running late today. Dang it. Whoops. Sorry, coffee break. Pumpkin snickerdoodles. Let me tell you about this recipe. And there I will... say that there is a, oh gosh, I had this in my head, what I was going to say about this yesterday, and I forgot. There's a disclaimer that comes with these, but I'll tell that at the end. Pumpkin snickerdoodles. This is another recipe from Sally's Baking Addiction blog. If you know anything about me, or I mean, if you've listened and you remember, I've made a lot of recipes from here and they all turn out well. This recipe is very simple. It's just a snickerdoodle recipe. I don't even remember what was in it. Sugar and pumpkin and the other things that make cookies. You form the dough, you roll it in cinnamon and sugar, and you bake them. And they turn out just so amazing. They turn out soft. I guess, part of that is that pumpkin. It just, oh, by the way, there's no egg in this. So if you like raw cookie dough, this is the recipe for you. They turn out soft and fairly large, and they kept well for a couple of days, and they were absolutely divine. Oh, yes, they also have white chocolates in them. Sorry, a little stream of consciousness today. So these, I made some, had a couple left over, took them to my coworker Mike, who told me the next day that he voted them the best cookies of 2014. No, he said they didn't have a lot of competition. He hasn't had a lot of cookies this year, but still, I will take it in the spirit intended. Now, the disclaimer. This recipe only made 12 cookies. I think in the recipe she says it makes 16. If I had made the balls smaller, I'm sure I could have gotten 16. But that is a big problem with these cookies because they are very, very good. This is a recipe I can highly, highly recommend. So I will definitely link in there. Best pumpkin thing I've made this year, for sure. And they're not overly pumpkin-y. So perfect, perfect recipe. The other thing that I want to mention is we went out for dinner on Friday night for a celebratory dinner after we launched the website, my husband and I. And we went to a Brazilian steakhouse that happens to be right down the road from us. It's called Tradição, and I'm sure I am not saying that right. It's obviously Brazilian, and I don't know how to say that. And things that I've seen, the way it's supposed to be said, I don't even know. But it's like Fogo de Chão, if you've ever been to Fogo de Chão or any Brazilian steakhouse, where it is basically a meat fest. You get there, there's a salad bar, which is generally pretty good. And then they bring around skewers of meat, and you can have as much meat as you want. They have these little cards, or generally, you know, something like some indicator. Usually they're little discs or cards that are red on one side, green on the other. And when you want more meat, you turn it to green. When you don't want any more right then, you turn it to red, so they won't come over, theoretically. Sometimes they do anyway. And sometimes the stuff is so good you can't resist, even though you have it on red. But we did that. It is expensive. It's definitely a splurge, and we only do it for special occasions, and I definitely considered Friday a special occasion. So we went there and had a meat fest, and it was so good. It was so good. They have just the best cuts of meat, and generally you get, you know, it's not like they serve you five steaks. You come and you get little slices of meat of the different kinds. They have, I don't even, you know, one of them was bottom sirloin, one of them was filet mignon, they have something called picanha, which is their house special, and most Brazilian steakhouse have this cut of meat. And I don't know what cut it is, but it's pretty fatty, and it's cooked, I like it medium rare, and it is the best stuff ever. So we had that, and if you ever have the opportunity to experience a Brazilian steakhouse and you have not yet, like I said, it is expensive. You might try, sometimes they'll have better, better prices for lunch if you want to try it at a time. Or if you have a Groupon or, restaurants.com or something like that that offer discounts, that's a great place to try it. to get a discount the first time you go, just to see if you like it. But I highly recommend it. So it is 7:20 almost, and I've still got half a cup of coffee. My plan did not work. I need to finish my coffee and get out the door so that I can get to work at a reasonable time. I will talk to y'all soon. I don't know what I'll do next week. Like I said, I probably won't record, but I did promise that I would draw for the Twist Fiber Studio. So I may do just a little mini drawing episode on Wednesday like I normally do, just to get that over with. Until then, have a happy Halloween. If you have little trick-or-treaters, I hope everybody is very excited, and be safe tonight. And let your kids eat all the candy they want. Let them live a little. Have a great week. Bye.